The reading today is from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 48. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds crushed against him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Holy God, open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts, that we may hear and receive your word, allowing it to transform our lives. Amen. Jesus sure had a way of drawing a crowd. Everyone wanted to get near him. Maybe they were all anticipating what he was going to do next. You see, he had developed quite a reputation, healing those who were sick or paralyzed, healing the demon-possessed, even raising the dead to life. That's why people who were hurting were drawn to him. And in the towns around where Jesus was staying and traveling, there was no shortage of hurting people. When Jesus came today, people were waiting for him, anticipating his arrival. But there were two people in the crowd who were ready to meet Jesus. Two people who couldn't be more different from each other. One was of vast importance. The other was someone of no importance. The one was a person of status and privilege. The other had no status and remained on the fringes of society. The one was a religious leader. The other was not. The one came to Jesus for someone else. The other came alone, with no one to speak up for them. The name of the one was written down for all to remember. The other's name was not important enough to be written. Jairus, the synagogue leader, had come to Jesus because his 12-year-old daughter was dying. He fell at Jesus' feet with full trust and belief that Jesus could indeed heal her. In his pleading, Jesus says nothing but follows Jairus through the crowd to go see this little girl. While all this was happening, someone else in the crowd was looking on from the edge. She had tried everything, spent every dollar she had, but still, she wasn't any better. In fact, what she had tried only made her feel worse. And after 12 years, she wanted her bleeding to stop. She wanted to be healed. She wanted once again not to be detested by her own community. She yearned for the sense of belonging once again. She yearned for the day when she would no longer be considered unclean, because unclean meant that she had to stay on the outside. Unclean meant that she wasn't welcome. Unclean meant that she couldn't go into the temple and worship. She was filled with shame and disgrace. As she made her way through the crowd, there was this nagging thought in the back of her mind that she should just go home, that she didn't really belong there. It took every ounce of courage she could muster to not just turn around and go home. but she had come this far. She believed that if anyone could stop this bleeding and restore her, it would be Jesus. But he looked so busy. She had heard Jairus' plea and saw the determined look on Jesus' face as they set off to his house. But what she needed was important too, right? She had the same right to be there as anyone else in the crowd, right? Well, the people around her, if they knew that she had been bleeding, probably didn't think so. But her determination was building now. And if she was going to make a move, it had to be now. Her hand was trembling, but still she pressed on. Her legs were shaking, felt like they weighed 1,000 pounds, and she wondered if she could take another step forward. She didn't know if she could do it, if she could approach Jesus. And as fear welled up inside her, she thought of something. She knew that Jesus was powerful. So if she could reach out and just touch the edge of his cloak, that could be enough. It didn't have to be much, just touch a little bit. Even with just her fingertips. She knew if she touched that much, she could be healed. And as she's coming up from behind Jesus and getting closer to him, she takes a deep breath and stretches her hand forward. The moment her fingertips grazed his cloak, she knew in an instant she'd been healed. The bleeding had stopped, and relief flooded through her. But then the crowd that had been pressing forward suddenly stopped. Jesus is looking around at the people in every direction. Who touched me? Now the disciples thought this question was outrageous. Who touched me? They were in a crowd of people. Have you ever been in a crowd of people before and not been touched by somebody? It's hard to move through a crowd and someone not to brush up against you. Yet Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Why would he ask such a thing? The woman who had touched Jesus tried to make herself invisible. She worried about what he might say or what he might do. This question echoed in her mind again, "Who touched me?" As Jesus looked around the crowd, she found herself trembling again, wondering if she could make herself bold enough to speak up. When she felt she could no longer hide, she boldly stepped forward and fell at Jesus' feet with a sense of holy awe. She found her story pouring from her lips as she told Jesus why she had come and what had happened when she touched the edge of his cloak. Still a little fearful, she glanced up to just get a peek at Jesus' face. But instead of anger or rebuke, she found kind, loving eyes. She could tell in an instant that Jesus wasn't upset about what happened. But he was happy about it. And then he spoke. And in the words that came next, this woman's world was changed forever. Daughter. No one had called this woman daughter in a long time. Daughter meant inclusion and belonging. Daughter meant that she is loved. And yet that's what Jesus calls the woman, daughter. She wasn't just included in any family. She was included in God's family. Chosen. Loved. A part of the chosen people of God. Daughter, your faith has healed you. It took a lot of faith to do what that woman did that day. But she had made her way through the crowd, trusting that Jesus could heal her. She came trusting that Jesus could make her whole. But she got more than she expected. Daughter, not only did she experience physical healing, but a social healing. Being unclean meant that she couldn't belong, couldn't be included. And now she was brought back into relationship. But Jesus didn't stop there, did he? He tells her, "Go in peace." Now, peace has so many different meanings. In a world that's constantly at war, peace can mean the absence of conflict. However, this is not the peace the woman is sent off with by Jesus. Peace is also what we experience when we're in right relationship with God. The woman had just touched Jesus' cloak and had been healed. Jesus restores her into relationship with him and the entire community. She had experienced healing as well as wholeness. She had taken the initiative to make her way through the crowd that day to experience the benefits of trusting in Jesus. She is called daughter and sent in peace. And she can go forth from the crowd in peace, resting in the knowledge that Jesus, in the power of God, has restored her. Now we know that kind of peace is not found anywhere else. As we think about this woman's encounter with Jesus this morning, I wonder where you find yourself in this story. Do you find yourself relating to this woman? Maybe you find yourself in need of healing and restoration today. Maybe you find yourself wondering if you just come before Jesus, that you might be healed. I assure you that if an unclean woman who had been bleeding for 12 years can come to Jesus and be healed just by touching the edge of his cloak, then we can do it too. We can bring it all before Jesus and experience inclusion and restoration and healing. But maybe you find yourself not relating to the woman, but rather to Jairus this morning. That you've desperately come before Jesus, but what you came to him for is interrupted. This woman who had been bleeding for 12 years stopped Jesus in his tracks when he was on his way to go to see Jairus' daughter to bring her healing. Sometimes it feels like someone else is interrupting that healing that we need. Now remember, if we would keep reading this morning, it's not like this miracle didn't happen for Jairus, right? If we would continue on in Luke, we find that after Jesus healed the woman, someone had came and told Jairus that his daughter had died. Now, thinking it was too late, Jairus is encouraged by Jesus that he just needed to believe and that his daughter would be healed. And remember, they go to Jairus' house, and Jesus calls her, lifts her up, right? Takes her by the hand, says, "Little girl, get up." And she's alive, right? So the miracle happens. But if you find yourself waiting for that miracle this morning, keep holding on to faith. Just as Jesus told Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Waiting for answers, waiting can be hard when we don't know when that next step is coming. Waiting to hear God's voice, it can be difficult. But just like Jairus, Jesus remains with us in our waiting. Jesus walks with us as we wait for that miracle. It can be hard to look and see someone else get the answers that they're looking for while you're stuck waiting. But even as we wait, Jesus is present with us. And for that, we can keep holding on to God with hopeful expectation. Now, maybe this morning you don't feel like the woman. You don't feel like Jairus. Maybe you find yourself in the crowd this morning, seeing others coming to Jesus with urgency and expectation. Maybe you find yourself in the crowd because, well, life's feeling pretty good right now. And you just enjoy celebrating the good things that God is doing in the lives of others. Maybe you find yourself in the crowd this morning because you feel like you're unworthy to come before Jesus and ask that thing that's been burning in your heart. Whatever reason you find yourself in the crowd this morning, I invite you to come to Jesus. Even if you might not feel worthy, Jesus loves you and wants you to experience healing and wholeness. Even if you think, well, someone else needs that healing more than I do, I promise you that you can never be a burden to Jesus. He wants you to come to him, no matter how big or how small the problem may seem. Jesus loves you, calls you son, daughter. You are his child. You are precious. We can all come before Jesus, telling Jesus exactly what we need. And we can praise God that nothing stands in our way. We can fall at Jesus' feet. In Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Friends, Jesus wants us to come before him. We don't have to come afraid or ashamed. We can come freely asking for what we need. We can ask for that healing. Ask for that thing we have been waiting for a really long time. We can bring a need before Jesus for someone that we love. Jesus hears us and answers our cry for help. Our cry for healing. Our cry for wholeness. And while I can't promise what we will receive, well, I can't promise what it is that you'll receive from Jesus. And it might be different from what you expect. But what I can do is promise that Jesus will be right there with you. What I can promise is that we can be filled with God's peace, that peace that only comes from a right relationship with him. What I can promise is that we will never find ourselves disappointed by our time we spend at Jesus' feet. So today, I encourage you to come before Jesus. Even if you're just reaching out your hand and grazing the edge of his cloak with your fingertips. It is my prayer today that Jesus might look around and ask, who touched me? Knowing that you've experienced healing from relationship with Jesus. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we come before you today needing your presence in our lives. We come to you today needing your healing touch, for we long to be made whole. We come to you today believing that you are God, believing that you have the power to heal, the power to save, the power to restore what has been broken. We come to you today aware of our own insecurities and shame in bringing our needs before you. But we come anyway. We come, Lord, because you have called us your sons and daughters. We come because of your great love for us. We are reaching out to you today, Lord, in need of your power. Fill us with that power, Lord, as we reach out in faith, knowing that healing and wholeness come from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.